All right, then. She said, I don't need no words. I know the words. There was a beautiful presentation by Fiorella. All right. Join me in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we have come to the time in our service where we go to your word, where we listen to your counsel, and we earnestly try to hear your voice. So at this time, Lord, I ask that you would clean my heart so that I can be a vessel for you, that the Holy Spirit can speak through me directly to your people. Let the words be yours, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I was standing in the AV booth after the superintendent segment, and Sister Sherry stood up and said, "Huh, it's already Sabbath lesson. How'd it come so quickly?" And I was kind of giggling to myself because every time I have to preach, I was like, they already did the sermon. I mean, they already did the stewardship. They already did the garden of prayer. Oh, it's my turn, you know? It's and you never lose those butterflies. You really never do. So I'll tell you something kind of interesting. The Sabbath, a how-to guide. Whenever you preach a sermon on the Sabbath, it's not uncommon that some people won't really like what you say, okay? And every time I have to share the word with you, for me, it has to really be inspired. And some call that procrastination. And I say it's when God tells me this is what you're going to share. So this sermon idea has been on my mind for a very, very long time. But I decided while I was going through this that I wanted to do it a little differently. So consider this like an intro, and there will be another sermon. Might not be preached by me, but of a different nature, and you'll see what I'm talking about when we get into it. But as far as the inspiration, it was really interesting to me because this morning, about 8:45 or so, I get a text message from Sister Sarah over here, and I have to look back to remember what it said. It was a picture, right? She sent a photo, and it said, "The Sabbath." And it says, "Moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them." Ezekiel 20:12. And that's actually one of the scriptures in my message. And it was just interesting that I got that from Sister Sarah this morning. Maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's the Spirit saying, "Hey, yeah, don't worry. This is what you need to talk about." Before we jump into it, I'm going to give a little bit of credit, because this is not me, right? I read a lot, of course, listened to a lot, and I'd like to give some credit to Pastor Doug Batchelor, because I drew on his two-part sermon series on keeping the Sabbath holy. I'd like to give credit to the writings of Ellen White, specifically Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, and I read pages 352 to 263 to draw some points as well. And I'd like to give credit to an article from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Lesson 29, Keeping the Sabbath Day Holy. All right, just so that you know, I'm no genius and I come up with all this stuff, okay? All right, so as you know, Pastor has started a program with the children, and he contacted me this morning and said, "Can I give a key word to the kids?" And I believe when you hear this key word during the sermon, you're supposed to do something. What are you supposed to do? Write it down. And apparently it's worth something. And you guys know the rules and you know what I'm talking about. Right, kids? So the key word for today is demarcation. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The key word for today is tutti frutti, fresh and fruity. No, it's not. The key word for today is Sabbath. When I start the sermon, listen for the word Sabbath, and you know what to do. All right. Our scripture today was taken from Genesis 2, verse 1 and 2. But as I reread that, let's back up one verse to chapter 1, verse 31. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day," chapter 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." And let's add verse 3. "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Amen? So I'm going to share a story I read with you. It's not at all amusing. Don't worry. But it's good. It's a story about a banana farmer in South America, right? And normally the ships come into port and they sell their bananas and it goes out export. On this particular occasion, all the ships came in Friday, early afternoon, because there was a big storm that was going to hit on Sunday. So they're coming in Friday, try to buy up all the bananas, load up their ships, and skedaddle before Saturday night, right? So when that storm hits, they're free and clear. So here they are, and you don't cut the bananas until you're ready to load them. Who likes the bananas with all the dark spots all over them and they get soft and mushy? Nobody does. Okay, maybe some do. I don't. But you want it fresh, right? So they wait and they cut it when it's time to go to the ship. So here it is Friday evening, and everybody is in a hustle and a bustle trying to get all of this loaded. One particular farmer, he was a Sabbath keeper, he's standing there, and all of his neighbors are like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Well, I can't finish this crop before the Sabbath. There's just no way." And they said, "Well, look, this is your livelihood. When these ships sail," you remember hearing your ship has sailed? Yeah. "When these ships sail, that's it for your crop. Your crop will be ruined. You can't feed your family. We don't have the PPP program yet to cover your payroll." Okay, this is long, 20 years ago. "You're going to starve. Your family is going to starve. God will understand. It's not like you cut this crop every Saturday, man. God will understand. Matter of fact, give an extra offering to the church." How's that sound? So he said something, and you guys remember 1 Samuel 15:22. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." Now, we know this was back with Samuel, and Saul was told, wipe out that whole evil nation, but he saved the king for whatever reason, and he saved all the best of the cattle and the goats and everything. Directly disobeying God's instructions, but it seemed like a good thing. Why waste that, you know? And you know the story in the book of Samuel. And we use that oftentimes without understanding the context in which it was shared. But it applies to us here. Does God really care more about your offering, right, or about your obedience to him. So they called him a madman. They said, you need to harvest your crops, and if you don't, it's going to spoil. You are crazy. And everybody gets down there, and the ships are loaded, and it's Saturday about 2:35, and it's all ready to roll. And you know where he is? He's in church with his family, and he's watching this go. And he made a decision. He'll stand for the Lord. And he said to them, actually, since I can't get this done before the Sabbath, this looks like the Lord's problem. And he goes in to church. You know, it's gone. Sunday, a big storm hits. Monday morning, one ship straggles in. It couldn't make it with the rest of the ships because of engine trouble. And here is this one lone ship getting engine repairs and asking around, does anybody have bananas? I'm paying 2-to-1. I'm paying double price because I have no bananas. Takes a lot of fuel and manpower to get here and go back with nothing to sell. I'm paying 2-to-1 for your bananas. And one man had some bananas. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It didn't seem like it made sense to waste the crop. It didn't seem like it made sense for all of that to go by the wayside and risk your family's well-being. It just didn't seem like it. But there's something about faithfulness to God. And this is not a fairy tale. This is a true account. Says all of his friends and neighbors watched as he went down to the harbor and got almost twice the price he would have gotten if he had gotten caught up in the panic and disobeyed God, not honoring his holy Sabbath day. 1 Samuel 2:30 teaches us what? The Lord says, those who honor me, come on now, I will honor them. Those who honor me, I will honor them. That's a promise from God. Let me tell you something. Every time God speaks, that's a promise. Some things we know about God. God can't lie. God don't change. And God says, those who honor me, I will honor them. So now, we're beyond the story. It set the tone for where we're going with this. I'm going to ask you. I got two sermons for you. We got a feel-good sermon with a side order of truth, or we got just a sandwich of truth fully involved. Which one you want this morning? Are you sure? All right. Well, then understand that I actually have to feed myself the sandwich of truth. I am guilty of what I'm about to share with you myself. So please don't think I'm preaching down to you. I'm preaching up to me, okay? All right, as long as we understand that, we do know that there's going to be a great test coming to us. Amen? I'm going to tell you, I've been hearing it for decades. I remember getting baptized at 10 years old. Decades ago, Jesus coming soon. One of these days, there's going to be a Sunday law. Y'all better look out. It might be in this generation. Okay. It's interesting when we see things like, I think my mom had shared with me, what island was that that did the Sunday thing about a month ago in March? Barbados. That's not too far from where I was born in Trinidad. Barbados basically made it law that Sunday is now recognized as a day of rest. They need a day of rest, a day of common rest. And furthermore, it says, if anyone observes someone involved in toil and business on Sunday, notify the authorities. This is about 6 weeks ago, okay? And this is not in one of these countries like Iran with a dictatorship, okay? This is free world. This is a democratic island. And if you feel like come Sunday, you want to go do a little work, guess what? It's not that far away anymore, is it? So we know we're facing something that's coming at us that we've heard about all of our lives, and it's really surreal to realize that it is now a reality that we face. We hear it in our own country about a common day of rest. We've seen the Pope get very involved in America and in the world that, you know what? COVID beat us down. We got to recover. We need a day of peace, rest, and worship. Have you all been seeing that in the news, or is it just me? Okay. All right. But today's message isn't about, I'm going to tell you, which day. That's that other sermon I'm going to preach one day. Okay. It's like I spent a day reading about first day versus seventh day, you know. I was looking at some. There are 563 denominations that observe the Sabbath day. I'm like, what? That's crazy. And then further reading, I realized many people see the first day of the week as the Sabbath. So even though they call it a Sabbath, it's not on the seventh day. Okay? This is not going to be a sermon about the mark of the beast. This is not going to be a sermon about the Sunday law. Okay? I'm just telling you, it's not. But that's been on my mind for a long time, and it's coming, but not today. What today's message actually is going to be about is a discussion on the guidelines for correctly keeping the Sabbath day holy. Hear what I'm saying? It's a guideline, that's all it is, for keeping the Sabbath day reverent. It's a guideline for enjoying this Sabbath day without compromising its principles. All right? It's a guideline for seeing the joy in this Sabbath day and knowing it is not a burden. And that's the direction we're going in. So tell me, my friends, what is the Sabbath? Who can tell me? What is the Sabbath? A seventh day of the week that God set aside. Okay. What is the Sabbath? A holy day of rest. A day of rest. The day you go to the grocery store. All right. Waking us up. Pay attention. It's a sign. That's right. See, it's a seal. All right. Hold up. Unless you all want to preach to. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're all right. Well, not Patrick. Okay. The Sabbath is first mentioned in the Genesis account, where at the end of the days of creation, the seventh day was what? Set aside. It was set aside as what? A day of rest. What else beside a day of rest? It was made holy. Okay? It was made holy. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Ezekiel 20, verse 12 tells us, moreover, also I gave them what? My Sabbaths. To be what? A sign between who? Me and them. That they might what? Know that what? I am the Lord that does what? Sanctify them. Now, skip a little forward to verse 20. In the same chapter, by the same prophet, speaking to God's same people. And hallow my Sabbath's day. And what? Hallow. Make it fervently holy. And they shall be, what? A sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. We've come to identify the Sabbath day with rest and not working and not seeking our own pleasures. Agreed? That's more or less how we see the Sabbath day nowadays. Here's what you don't hear all the time. And it's because sometimes folks don't like to hurt folks' feelings. But what they say about the truth? What? Let me hear you again. The truth will set you free. The truth hurts. God's word is truth. The sword of truth. You see what I'm saying? The truth is not a popsicle. What we don't hear all the time is God commanded that the day be remembered, and there's a reason for remember. God commanded that the day be kept holy, and that's very important. It was given on what? Two tablets of stone that were what? On a copy machine? That were UPS, FedEx, next to air? Let me tell you something. The prophet of God goes up to God. God takes this tablet of stone where his own finger etches out his law. And at the very center of the law, at the heart of the Ten Commandments, is the fourth. And as we know, and this will be in that other sermon, the fourth commandment represents the seal of God. It gives us who he is, what his domain is, and what's the third one? Exodus 20, 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, this is God's word, is the Sabbath of the Lord, who? Thy God. And in it, thou shalt what? Do no work. Who else? Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger or your visitors that are within thy gates. For in 6 days, the Lord made what? Heaven and earth. What else? The sea. What else? All that in them is. And what did God do? He rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord did what? He blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Can you tell me why we have the Sabbath day? Why? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, what does it matter what day? Long as you keep a day for God. Let it be Wednesday, doesn't matter. There are places where people have no concept of time, you know? What about if you're on the space station? How would you know when the sun set and the sun rise? What if you live in the North Pole? And it's always dark, right? If you are a parent, then you keenly understand why we have the Sabbath. And let me tell you why. You remember, let me see, parents. If you're a parent, raise your hand. All right, if you're a parent over the age of 40, raise your hand. Okay. I'm talking to y'all right now. I'm not really talking to you yet. Y'all remember when they were little and they're always pulling and, give me a break. Well, you saw the video, right? And then when they got that special piece of paper where DPS would let them run down the road freely and you gave them a bunch of keys, what happened? I ain't got time for you. Give me a debit card. I got this, Ma. Yeah? They're telling you what time they're going to be home. And all of a sudden, you realize you're not as center in their life anymore as when they were pulling on their pants leg and saying, can I have some more? Right? They got a life of their own. And now you're wishing they would say, hey, you want to sit down and talk? Which teenager here does that all the time? Hey, Ma, hey, Mom, can we sit down and talk? Except when you're in trouble. right? That doesn't happen anymore. God knew after he created us and told us to occupy this earth, God knew we would get caught up in the busyness. God knew we would get inundated with the distractions and we would forget. He knew we would forget why we are here. You know you were created to worship God? And we would forget. We wouldn't take the time. If he didn't set aside a day, right? How many of us could work 7 days a week? I know I could. And then the interesting thing is you say, okay, next week I'll take a day off. Next week I'll take a day off. And 6, 7, 8 years later, you're all laid up in the hospital with health issues and everything. You didn't take care of yourself. And God knew what would happen. You think God needed some rest after 6 days of creation? You think about the accounts of the Bible where one angel handles up on a whole army of the enemy. One angel and barely break a sweat. Imagine God who created 10,000 times 10,000 angels. He does not need a day of rest, but he knows that I do. He knows I will push the envelope on my health. He knows I won't have time to read his word. I would want to, but I won't have time to. And he thought ahead for me. I'm going to give you this day, Marcus. You're going to stop. You can just stop for a minute. Catch your breath. This world is just going to take from you as much as you can work, your employer wants. Okay? If you can work 7 days a week, your employer profits more. But I'm telling you, all I want from you is a little bit of your time and your attention. That's all God wants from me. But if he did not give me this Sabbath day, I would not be here with you right now. Because I got a long list of to-dos, let me tell you. God created us to worship him. Psalm 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker." Psalm 66:4, "All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name." John 4:23 and 24, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Revelation 15:4, "Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." That sermon I told you I looked at with Pastor Batchelor, like the analogy he used, a Sabbath is a calibration tool God gave us. We can reset, we can recalibrate. And if God didn't give us the Sabbath day to recalibrate us, lifespans would be shortened. Peacefulness would be out the window. All right, so let's switch gears and let's take just a more direct look into how we're supposed to observe the Sabbath day, starting with the do's. So hold your rotten tomatoes for a little bit longer. You're going to like these. Prepare in advance. You hear what I'm saying? Prepare in advance. Have a mindset towards the Sabbath all week long, not just Friday evening. Oh, it's almost sunset. All week long, be thinking, man, I can't wait for that Sabbath. My boss could ring that phone all he wants. I ain't coming in. Have a mindset towards the Sabbath. Remember last Sabbath, the peace that you experienced, the rest that you had, the time you sat down with your family, the time you talked, the time you read God's word, and you were not stressed out. Yeah. Hear what I'm saying? Prepare in advance for God's Sabbath day. How many of you guys on Thursday morning say, OMG, it's about to be Sabbath. I'm about to get my church on. How many of you guys? Don't answer that question. Come energized. Look, let's be honest. After this week wears you down, you're tired. I remember having to talk to a brother that sat right there that was snoring. You remember? And that's okay. You work, you're tired. But you know what? Come energized. You set an alarm clock so you get to work all week long. You turn that TV off so you can get to bed and get enough sleep because you got to get up and get to work if you want that check. Why we're so laid back when it comes to God's day? That we wear ourselves out for the boss, but now we come tired to God. This is supposed to be a joy. This is supposed to be amazing. This is God's Sabbath day. And we're like, come on. I'm glad you come. Come and sleep if you have to. At least you're here. But you're missing something. All right? It is a blessing to know that God desires your presence. I heard one amen. It's a blessing to know that God desires your presence. That's a big statement. That's not easy to wrap your mind around. You gotta almost feel goosebumps or super guilty. All right? God desires your presence with him today. That's a golden nugget. McDonald's can't move that. All right. Serve him and his children. It's all good and well to come here and be served. It's all good and well to sit back there and let me share this with you and watch as that little girl sang that song. Be served. It's wonderful. Eat it up. It's great. Is that all God wants you to do? Listen. Jesus set the example. Amen. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. Amen. And what did he do on the Sabbath day? What's that? Tell me. He rested. He healed. He went to church. He said, suffer little children to come unto me. He served people all day long. He was tired. In the evening, he got into the boat to go to the other side, have some peace and quiet. But all day long, Jesus served mankind. They tried to trip him up with that, the Pharisees. Trip him up. Oh, look. You see Benny over there with that withered hand? Let's see what he's going to do. Rabbi, what you going to do with old Benny? You going to heal him? You know it's Sabbath. And what does Jesus say? Is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath? And then he got bold and said, stretch forth thine hand. And it was as whole as the other. So it's good to come here and be served. But be prepared to serve. That's what I'm saying. Be willing to serve. And then go next level and say, I want to serve God. How many times have we heard that scripture about the goats and the sheep? And Lord, Lord, wherein did we see you and not feed you? Wherein did we see you and not clothe you? And he says, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to who? Me. That's not what I want to hear Jesus say to me. Do you? So you don't want to serve out of that fear. We're going to touch on that later. You want to serve out of a desire to be like your Savior. How many times you see dad working in the yard and the little son come with his plastic hammer and saw? He wants to be like dad, right? We have a desire to be like our Heavenly Father. So show that example to the world. Remain engaged and active all day long. Remain engaged on this Sabbath day. Remain active this Sabbath day. And come 12:45 when Johnny takes off and the rest of you go home, catch you a good nap for the rest of the day. Sabbath is done. Is that right? Sabbath extends well beyond the divine hour. Sabbath is all day long. God didn't make half a day holy, did he? God made a day holy. All right? God set aside half of this day for you, or all of this day for you. Then all day long should be a blessing and a joy and a service to God. All day long. I'll be the first one to say I like that nap. Like I said, I'm preaching up to me. I get home, I have that stewed chicken and peas and rice, and my wife made a nice meatballs and butter beans, and there's so much food, and you can't pick one or the other, so I'm eating both. And then when I'm done, I want to lay back. Why not? But let me tell you something. Don't be lazy on the Sabbath. Don't let that become your habit where all you want to do is eat and sleep and say, I rested. Come on. That is not what the Bible means, okay? Keeping the Sabbath calls for us to be a part of the ministry. Maybe we need to start doing some ministry here at church. We don't have enough ministry. People need ministries in the church so they can get involved, right? Do we have any ministries here? Let me tell you something. If you're not involved, let me just share something with you. We have food pantry. Take him to the streets. Bottled water ministry. We have pathfinders. We have adventurers. We have, what else we have? Men's ministry, women's ministry. The list goes on. We got ministry. All we need is you. And you have no excuse. Like I said, you wanted the sandwich, not the little side. The last point on the do's. Attend to the children and their nurturing and their education. This can be one of the most important and rewarding aspects of the Sabbath day. Let me tell you. If you do it wrong, the Sabbath is going to be a burden on these little ones. If you do it right, it's going to be a delight and a blessing for them. I remember Sabbath afternoon in Trinidad. Daddy, I got to call you out. Back in those days when I was little, me, Joey, Rick, and Nikki, we get home from church. My parents used to work not an 8-hour day. It could range up to like an 18-hour day sometimes. But they always respected the Sabbath. Nonetheless, 5-6 days is going to catch up with you. And there were times where they were tired. And boy, Daddy would get his 14 or 16 pillows all around him, and he's sleeping. And we're bored. We've been working all week long. We want to do something. We go in that kitchen, and they have the, let me tell you something. I still have the skill. You might call me Miyagi. Flies sitting there, and we break her rubber band, and we sneak up, and we take him out. Sabbath entertainment. And then like, we get bored, so we start fighting and punching each other and running all over the house. And next thing you know, here comes Daddy. What, you're not tired anymore, Daddy? Man. I think I still got 5 fingers on my shoulder, but that's okay. But then I remember many times he's tired. We get done with church, we grab a bite to eat, and then we go handing out literature with the rest of the church people. You guys don't know Mova Hill. It's not a hill, it's a mountain. And we walking up there dressed like this, drenched in sweat, knocking on people's doors and stuff. Man. So I remember both. The Sabbath day is a day to serve your fellow man. And in raising your children, is it going to be a burden on them because you got too much stuff to do and you're tired? Or is it going to be a joy to your children because by example, you show them what Jesus did? You get out there and you go visit the members. You go out there and you go with Johnny down to the bus stop and hand out sandwiches and cold water. You hear what I'm saying? You get to decide if the Sabbath day is a burden or a joy for these little ones. And you have a responsibility as the stewards of God's children. So the takeaways on that part of the message. Prepare, refresh, engage, teach, and above all, have joy. That's what God wants from you. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to have joy in your life. Now let's move on. I appreciate the yes and the amens because we're about to hit the don'ts. There's some things we do to where you can't tell that we're a peculiar people on Saturday. I'll say it. You can't tell that we're a peculiar people on Saturday. Let me tell you something. If you're out there walking down the street in about 45 minutes and you're walking next to another guy, somebody should be able to just observe that something different about this dude. There's something different about that lady. They should be able to see it in your attitude, in your dress, in your demeanor, in that energy you have, in your willingness to carry forth the word of God. They should see it and know there's something different. They might not like it. Not everybody's going to like it. But you know who likes it? The one that counts. The only one that counts. According to Testimonies from the Church, Volume 6, page 353, in establishing new churches, ministers should give careful instruction as to the proper observance of the Sabbath. Ellen White says, ministers should give special attention in teaching our new members how to observe the Sabbath. I didn't just grab this out of thin air, okay? We must be guarded lest the lax practices that prevail among Sunday keepers shall be followed by those who profess to observe God's holy rest day. The line of demarcation is to be made clear and distinct between those who bear the mark of God's kingdom and those who bear the sign of the kingdom of rebellion. So look here. When you train somebody through the 12 lessons that we do, and we bring them up to speed on the 28 beliefs, right? And they understand. Yeah, I get it. You showed it to me. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. I get it. Exodus 31, 13. I understand. The Sabbath is for real. Okay, I accept it. Then what? Thumbs up. Check that off. We're good. Really? I bet you we could do 3 months worth of sermons only on the Sabbath and still not run out of things we could teach and talk about. I bet you. So where is this teaching and this edification and this raising people up to understand what the Sabbath is, why they keep it, how they're supposed to keep it, and then there's a time coming where it's all going to matter. It's all going to matter when you choose God's way or the world's way. Simple as that. And all of that is going to hinge on what? The Sabbath, the sign of God, the seal of God. It's all going to hinge on that in the end time. Oh, Brother Marcus, you're getting legalistic. It's all about, you're beating people over the head with the Sabbath again. No, that's that other sermon that's coming. That's not this one. If you take it easy and you water this down, when you see Jesus, you got to answer. I got to answer. Right? So I'm going to give you a full sandwich of truth instead of just a side order of truth. Okay? This is of paramount importance in your eternal salvation. A lot of things are, but this particularly, this is where God said, remember. This is where God said, keep it holy. Okay? So don't make it a common day. Just like the other Sabbath, if you will. I talk to my friends at work. They show up and church is short. Church is like an hour and they're done. And I hear them sometimes fussing if the preacher happens to go a little bit long because they're trying to go home to catch a game, right? And they're supposed to stop at, Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, get together and everything and then get home and stuff. That's their Sabbath. All right, it's fine. Is your Sabbath like that? Shouldn't your Sabbath be different? God didn't set aside 2 days. God set aside 1 day, and he tell you to hallow my Sabbath day. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 58, and let's look at verse 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Now, these are the words of the prophet Isaiah, God's words given to Isaiah to give to God's people, okay? If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath what? A delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And our what? God says, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah hasn't spoken it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That word, turn away thy foot, troubled me for a long time. I didn't understand it. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, is that saying turn away from the Sabbath? Is that saying forget about this? If you turn away your foot. Back in Isaiah's day, everything was done on foot. They walked. They worked. Everything was on foot. And what the prophet was saying isn't turn away from the Sabbath. It's saying if you turn away your work, if you turn away your travels, if you turn away your foot traffic, if you turn away your personal endeavors, turn them all away from the Sabbath so the Sabbath isn't polluted by them, then you will be rewarded. Does that make sense? Turn thy foot away. Turn all thy work away from God's Sabbath day. Honor God, and he is going to keep his promise. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. All right, I gotta move. I'm looking at the time. I'm gonna make this one as brief as I can. Serving God is a blessing. Serving God is a duty. Can you overserve? You sure? Let me share an idea with you. If all you do is work, work, work so that this can happen and you don't stop and hear God, you don't hear the message, what are you gaining on this Sabbath day? Look, it has to happen. The production has to flow, right? The lights got to be on. The air has to be on. The slides got to get done. The mics have to work. You know, when we have evangelism, we got to prepare the field. We have things going on after church. We got to prep for it. And you work and you work and you work and you work to make this all come together. Where's the balance? My point is there needs to be at least one Sabbath. I was talking to Perry and Craig about this. There needs to be at least one Sabbath where maybe we shut down all this fancy stuff. You know, go old school and let those guys back there hear God's word as well. Hear the music, you know. Just get engaged instead of being on pins and needles if this thing is going to fail or what. You know? There has to be meat in it for you and me as well. Don't get so caught up in it that, what is it, Luke 10, 40 to 42, right? Mary and Martha. Jesus gets invited over for dinner. That's always good times. That's always good times. There's Martha in the kitchen. There's Martha folding that tortilla. There's Martha doing it all. And here's old Mary. Oh, Jesus, tell me some more. Tell me some more. And what does Martha do? Hey, Jesus, is it just me? See, I'm trying to get you some food. Can you send her to help me? And what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha. He said it twice. Martha, Martha, you're doing good. And you're doing the right things, but I'm not going to send Mary away. She is absorbing what I am given here. Okay? Let's read the actual, let me see. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Don't get so caught up in just working all the time that you don't sit at Jesus' feet, is what I'm saying. Here's one, okay. Don't get so caught up all week long, right, that you can't take care of your business, and on Sabbath day, you got to take care of your business. Because a Sabbath day is for God. But Brother Marcus, I'm not going out to the grocery store. I'm not going to the movies. I'm just trying to get some of these chores done. Is that bad? Well, let me ask you, is that really that sheep that fell in the ditch? Every week your sheep falling in the ditch? Maybe you need to put up a railing by the ditch. I'm just saying. Right? And that brings up an important point. I have to be fair. There are some that are home all week long. And come Sabbath, they can prepare. And there are some that work all the time, right? This is in the 1800s. Moms go to work and work a full-time job and come home and still take care of the kids. So they get home tired in the evening and they still gotta clean the house and cook the food and everything. And sure, you can go say, Mr. Boss Man, I'm gonna need to leave about 1 o'clock Friday. And you'll say, okay. No, every Friday. How's that gonna go over? Right? But you saying, hey, I can't do that, but I got to get the stuff done. So come Friday after church, I'm going to catch up on some of this. God says no. You know what? All week long you let that house be dirty. But come Sabbath, oh, you can't be dirty. And you go to get to work, right? I'm just saying, put it in perspective. What's most important, Mary's way or Martha's way? You got to find balance, right? All right, so here's a doozy. How come y'all didn't put up this shield right here for me for COVID? Because I need it right now for what I'm about to say. When you leave here today, where are you going for lunch? Yeah, you asked for it. You want the sandwich of truth. I'm coming straight from the Word of God. Okay? Where are you going for lunch? You going home and have a light meal? On rye bread? You go over by Mama and eat some lunch? You gonna fire up the grill and do some burgers? Soy burgers, of course. You heading out to La Cantina and have some fajitas? What you gonna do for lunch when you leave here? Don't answer the question. Please don't answer the question. This is a question that is always raised in Adventist community. Let me tell you, all the time. And some say, Marcus, why are you being a Pharisee? Just last week, Pastor Steve said, judge not, lest ye be judged. What you doing, Marcus? You're tired. It's been a long week. You want to go out with your spouse and just sit down at the restaurant and have a meal. Okay. I can't say yay or nay. But what I can do is say turn to the book of Nehemiah. Because we stand on God's word. Okay? Nehemiah 10:31, if the peoples of the land, other than the Israelites, brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. We are instructed to not buy or sell on the Sabbath day. Now here's an excerpt from Pastor Doug Batchelor's sermon that I told you about, right? I'm going to read this to you real quick. And there are people who will argue, well, Doug, you know, we take up an offering, so we're handling money. So what's the difference if you go to the restaurant? We're still handling the money. He said that's a whole different thing. Giving an offering to God is different from buying something. Engaging is different from engaging people in trade. It's different from hiring somebody. And that's what you're doing. Think about this. I'm tired. I'm not doing any work. I'm just going to hand them this piece of plastic. Let them swipe it. Bring me such and such. Somebody's got to slave over that hot stove. Somebody's got to come bringing all that out to you and take it back. Somebody's got to clean it up. You are subcontracting some folks and paying them for their labor and their products. That's what's happening, right? And the book of Nehemiah, the Lord says, don't buy or sell on my Sabbath day. So interpret it as you will, but that is God's word right there. And here's another one. I remember, I called up one of our pastors, I think on Tuesday, and we had a conversation. And I said, in the end times, since our medical folks, the nurses and them, work on the Sabbath, is that going to be like a hall pass for, you know, the end time persecution and stuff? And he said, no. He said, when they say you can't buy or sell, they're not talking about one day. They're saying you're done for, okay? And if you stand for God, it doesn't matter whether you only work up to Friday or if you work into Saturday. That's not the point. When you stand for God, you stand against the law, and you will not be able to do these things. He said, but here's the thing. We need these medical people. You can fuss all you want about a nurse working on Sabbath. Let me tell you something. You go out there and somebody runs right through and hits you, and you lay in there. Wouldn't you want that nurse ready?
Sure.
Huh? Wouldn't you want that doctor on call?
Sure.
The EMT workers, the emergency workers, let's understand that this is a necessity. But here is what the word says. Here is what the scholars say. The money that you make on God's Sabbath day, you give it to the church or to a charity or whatever. You don't profit financially on God's holy day. That's what the word says. That's what the people say. That's what those who have studied say. I'm just passing it along. Hold your tomatoes a little bit longer. All right? It's 12:41, and we only have about 3 minutes till Johnny starts that truck up. So I'm going to end right here with this. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Look at Matthew 12:8, Mark 2:27-28, Luke 6:5, Exodus 31:13, and Ezekiel 20:11-12. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Matthew 12:12 and Mark 3:4. God designed the Sabbath day to be a blessing to you. Isaiah 58:13-14, Exodus 23:12, Exodus 31:17, Deuteronomy 5:14, and Genesis 2:2-3. God takes the Sabbath very seriously. He commands obedience to it. Deuteronomy 5:12, Matthew 5:19, Ezekiel 20:18-21. Allegiance to it will be a deciding factor in your eternity. Revelation 7:3. Revelation 13:15-17. Revelation 14:12. Failure to recognize God's true Sabbath is failure to recognize God Himself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for truth. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Though sometimes it's uncomfortable, though sometimes it sticks, when that day of reckoning comes and we face you, we want to face you with a clear conscience, not with excuses, for now we know truth. So God, I pray your Holy Spirit walk with us as we leave this place today, that this message, the different parts that pertain to each one of us, that the way it impacted us, we can ask you to show us, to open up our eyes so that we can know what you want us to do, how you want us to live. Please give us the guidance that your Holy Spirit can provide. In the name of Jesus, amen.